there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
He's the popular Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host, former NFL quarterback, joining us on the program. Let me start with the Saquon Barkley deal. We like to have a who won and who lost, so can you give a win or a loss in this situation to anybody?
I don't know if you really can, Dan. You're right. I mean, you know, the Giants won. I guess I'm going to say they won. But I also think, like, Saquon Barkley won as well. Like, I sat here in this seat yesterday, you know, doing the show with Florio, doing my podcast a little later, banging the table for going, Saquon, don't do this. You know, one, I'm a Giants fan, but two, I'm a really big Saquon Barkley fan as a player and the person. He's done everything right. You know, the sit out of training camp, sit out a year, wait till next year thing, it never works, right? You lose your craft. You lose your explosive ability that you never get back. So I'm just glad he got in there and he's getting his money. You're never going to get that back. He's got that. And, yeah, the Giants win because he's the most explosive player on their offense, and they got him back on the offense and back on the team here.
Any fallout that could affect other running backs?
Well, I mean, it's messed up the running back market. This is something I've been talking about really for quite some time.
But how did we get here, Chris? How did we get to where they're so devalued that
right?
Yeah, you know.
It's a great question. You know, and you know, I think here would be the start of it, in my opinion. One, Mike Shanahan and the zone running system, right? That was the first time we went, whoa, this scheme, they get yards for everybody. Okay, it's 2,000 yards or Terrell Davis, but we can put Johnny, who the hell is this running back, and he gets 1,400 yards.
Wow.
So that, I think, was the start of it, right? Then, you know, you look at the last 20 years, the greatest team we saw in the sport for the last 20 years, they never had a marquee running back. They did there early with Corey Dillon, but then it went, you know, running back by committee through the rest of the Patriots dynasty, right? You look at the Chiefs, they've been to 3 of the last 4 Super Bowls. It's 3 different running backs, you know, in 3 of those Super Bowls. I think some of the high draft picks who have flamed out or bodies have gotten injured, bad contracts, Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, things like that. I think it all has kind of got us here to that moment. And last but most important, Dan, offensive coordinators have found ways to, you know, manipulate offense despite who the running back is, right? Hey, well, we got more wide receiver screens. We got another wide receiver screen. We got a tight end screen. We got a speed sweep. We got a reverse. We can put Deebo Samuel at tailback for a few plays. So they have found ways to make up for not having Adrian Peterson or some star stud at that position. And I think that's what's led us to where we are right now.
Is there any room on the hype train for the Jets or the Lions?
Well, the Jets, I will say I have less questions about the Jets. The Jets are more about, can they gel together? You know, can Aaron Rodgers and all the receivers get on the same page? And more about, you know, they're just, it's, I think I said to you in the spring, the AFC East is as good as I've ever seen it. I don't remember ever the AFC East, let alone the AFC in general, right? So I don't know where that's going to put them, but I think the hype should be real about them. There's not really many position groups you can look at their team and go, I'm not sure about that. The Lions, you know, they're the ones I'm a little bit more worried about. You know, one, I know the offense was good, but how good, right? I know the offensive line's good. I still question Jared Goff to a degree. It's easy to put up a lot of points and yards when you know your defense is just going to let points and yards up all the time, and you're kind of always in a shootout. And then, of course, the defense, yeah, got questions about them as well. They were last in football last year. So, you know, the Lions are the team that I worry maybe a little bit more than the Jets about handling the limelight and the all the attention here.
How does it go wrong for the Jets?
I think, you know, get out of the gates poorly, right? Got a tough schedule. I mean, they certainly could be sitting there going, whoa, we're 1-2. We're 1-3. You know, you have that. Rodgers gets dinged up a little bit, right? Then all the naysayers, oh, why did we trade for him? And, dude, give them all the compensation. And it just all starts to pile on. That's how I would kind of look at it to go south. Right. I don't expect it to, but I think that would be one way I would see it happening.
Talking to Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host, former NFL quarterback, contributes to Football Night in America. The Packers, I think, are on record saying that they're going to give Jordan Love sort of half the season to figure out what they have. Shouldn't they know what they have with Jordan Love before you're going to say I got a eight or nine games?
Yeah, I mean, I think they know to a degree. There's expectations, there's optimism. But, you know, as you know, Dan, right? I mean, you just don't really know until it's the week in, week out grind. Ooh, teams have figured out what we're doing on offense and what Jordan Love likes to throw. What's going to be the next adjustment? Ooh, we had 2 or 3 weeks of not very good offensive play, and everybody in the national media and the Green Bay media is all over Jordan Love. How's he going to handle that?
How many times, as many camps as you were in, did you look at a quarterback and then it didn't translate into success on the field, or vice versa, where you go, oh my God, I thought this guy was going to be so great, or I didn't realize he was going to be so great? Can you detect how good a quarterback's going to be by being around him for a couple of years in practice?
You definitely can. You can pick up a lot from that. You know, one, the talent itself, and I think Jordan Love has that talent. I think he's got a lot of the mannerisms and, you know, the personality like we see, where he seems to be very even keeled. They know that too, right? So I think there's and so all of that, yes, you can look at that and go, hey, I think we got something here, right? It's kind of what Atlanta's doing with Desmond Ritter. They don't know, but they're going, wait, we like a lot of the things this guy's made of, so we're going to give it a shot here and see if we can go with it. The Packers situation's a little different, yes, right? But yeah, I still think it goes back to, okay, right, all right, we like all these things, but now it's getting, you know, tough, and the season's getting tough, and we've gone through some tough times. Is he going to be able to handle it? He's made some bad mistakes the last two games. Is he going to come out in game three and now be gun shy, or is he going to come out and be able to play his game, or is it going to be totally affected and not be the same? So I think those are the things you got to get answered, and I don't think you can really answer them until, you know, you get through the thick and thin of the NFL season a little bit.
Justin Fields has a goal of 4,000 passing yards.
That's a big goal.
Who's he throwing to?
Well, you know, when Darnell Mooney gets back healthy, he can go, right? Chase Claypool has superstar traits.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's the other stuff with Chase Claypool. It's the immaturity off the field and some of that stuff. But, like, when I tell you an Adonis of Adonises, Dan Patrick, like, Chase Claypool, one of those guys, if he walked in your studio, you'd be like, holy crap, that's Chase Claypool, right? And he can fly. And then DJ Moore is a superstar. If DJ Moore is not on the Carolina Panthers the last few years, he is, you know, considered one of the top receivers, at least for my money. So I'm excited for that pairing there. They drafted the kid Versus Jones last year in the draft. They got Cole Kmet at tight end. So there's some things to work with there. But yeah, his big question is, can he stand in the pocket and make good throw after good throw consistently with the decisions that go and that are needed to be had? That's the thing we need to see from Justin Fields this year in year three.
OBJ says that this could be his last year.
I don't buy it.
Is this attention? Did he pick up on what I was laying down to get attention, talking about retirement with my career, and he decided that he was going to one-up me?
Well, I mean, you know, when Dan Patrick speaks, we all try to jump off of Dan Patrick. I mean, you've set the standard for coolness out there, right? So, right? But no, I think OBJ... I know him a little bit through his years here in New York and got a chance to spend some time with him in an interview in Cleveland and the Rams and stuff like that. The passion for the sport is so real and intense that I think what he went through the last year or two, as he said, was, you know, like a huge blow to his soul. You know, this is a guy that, again, he wasn't just like here to be, oh, I'm a good receiver and I'm going to make some money in the NFL. This is a guy that, like, I talked to in year two of his career. Nick, he was flat out, I want to be the best receiver in the history of football, and was on that trajectory. So I would say he has a positive year here. They're going to win some games. Baltimore is going to be good. He has good stats. That's going to reinvigorate that love, and he's going to go, wait, what the hell else am I going to do if I don't play football? I can still run 4-3 and be the man out here. So I don't buy it once we get going.
I was talking about defensive backs. Who's a Hall of Famer? Who's a recent retiree Hall of Famer? Who is maybe a Hall of Famer in waiting at the defensive back position?
Okay, that's a good question. You're catching me on the fly here. But all right, so you know, here's one that I got for you that I don't know if people put that. Aqib Talib would be a DB that I would say he's a Hall of Famer for my money.
Okay.
Aqib Talib, what he did for the Broncos, helping them win a Super Bowl, helped the Patriots win a Super Bowl. Right. I was in Tampa Bay when we drafted him. He was literally, Dan, a day one, first day of training camp, like, holy crap, he's matching up against the number one receiver and not just like doing okay, like he's dominating practice and got two interceptions our first training camp practice. So to me, and he's one of those guys you just go, hey, you got him all game long. That would be one that just jumps off, you know, my mind right off the bat. You know, Jalen Ramsey, of course, is headed that way, I think. There's some other guys I'm missing, too. I'm choking under the pressure. But
Stephon Gilmore?
Gilmore, I think, is going to be, yes. I think he will be in that conversation as well. No doubt about it. Yeah. I think he will be when it's all said and done.
We know that quarterbacks would stay away from Revis, Deion Sanders. Did you have a DB that you purposely stayed away from?
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't play enough. I wasn't good enough to always do with that. I was in a lot of meetings where they were telling the starting quarterback not to do that, right? And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's right. If I get in there, I'm not throwing at him. Don't worry. all right, well, I can tell you Champ Bailey in practice and when I was with the Denver Broncos would scare the crap out of me. I mean, he had great intellect. He had great acceleration. He can mess with your mind. So that was always scary. Nnamdi Asomugha in his prime. With the Raiders, we were getting ready to play them. Josh McDaniels, the Denver Broncos, on that football team. He literally told us on a Tuesday when we had a quarterback meeting, he just said, just if Namde's over here, we're throwing over here. We're not doing it. It's not worth it. So that was probably like the biggest one in my day as far as the one I had a face off of that scared me for sure.
Good to talk to you as always, bud. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Be good. Say hi to the guys. See you, Dan.
That's Chris Sims. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Bridgestone tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. See their Bridgestone test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to keep an eye out for the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Full intro here. He won the Open Championship. He's Brian Harman, PGA Tour Open Championship winner. And now number 6 in the FedEx Cup standing. Nobody cares about that. We just care about you got hardware there. How many beers have been in the claret jug since you won?
I'll tell you what, definitely one too many the first night. And I have to say, I got it up here. I'm in upstate New York now. And I got to look inside of that thing, and boy, does it need a scrub. It does not make me feel great about all those beers we were drinking out of.
When did you realize that you could win the Open Championship?
I tried my best not to think about it, but I started getting some really good feelings. Like, you know, obviously back nine, got a big lead, but I just knew that if I could just stick to what I was doing, I didn't feel like there was anybody that could beat me. I was playing really, really good. I'd been putting so good all week. I just felt like I was in control and felt like I was finally able to like play against myself and not worry about what anybody else was doing.
When did you realize that this could slip away from you if you did entertain those thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I was a ball of nerves Saturday and Sunday, and I hit some loose golf shots, especially to start the day, both Saturday and Sunday. And I hit it right in the middle of a gorse bush on a reachable par five, number five, Sunday. Hey, Rory's making birdies. John Rahm just made a birdie. And obviously, you know, those guys are going to play great. You know that they're going to give you 100%. And they've done it, and I hadn't. So it would have been a nice spot for me to let the wheels come off, but that was probably the way I hung in there.
But what's it like when you know the gallery wants to see somebody else win?
They don't care for an underdog over there, I suppose. Having these old Cinderella underdog stories, right? Yeah, it was brutal, man. They were I've always appreciated the fans there because they're very knowledgeable. They They know when to clap. They know, you know, that they know the game, and they know guys like me. They know me by, you know, I can go to tour events in the United States and a lot of people have no idea who I am, and that's totally fine. But over there, they cover golf a little differently. And so I've always appreciated their knowledge of the game, but boy, did they not want me to win that golf tournament.
I'm watching the press conference after you won, and you could tell the writers were looking for any kind of angle here, and it felt like they wanted to talk to you about hunting more than they did.
I can't stand it over there. I can't stand it. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. If someone's that mad at me knowing where my meat comes from while they still eat meat, I got no time for that.
How will life change?
Hopefully not at all.
So you don't want it to change. Like, you don't want to be bigger?
Man, I'm a grown up. I'm 36. I got three kids. I was changing diapers. So I was up at 6 feeding my son Jack a bottle. I mean, how much can life change? If I was 25 and something like this happens, you know, the temptation to be there, but I love my life. I got things I love to do. I got a family that's incredible. It's not going to change. Just won't.
Explain how your style of game worked when it didn't work for anybody else.
I was able to drive it. I drove the ball really well. I was able to take on, you know, over there, the bunkers are scary, but if you're willing to take on a few of them here and there, you can get some really good looks into the greens. And it worked out. I drove the ball really well, and I was really smart coming into the greens, and I made a lot of putts. I mean, that's been kind of my MO is when the putter gets hot, I can, you know, I can do really good. And I just hadn't had a week like that in a long time where the putter was just good for 4 days.
Did you ever feel inferior when somebody, you know, Rory hits it 340 and you may hit it 280 or 290? I know you have to play your game, but there's still part of you like, damn, how does he's 50 yards or 60 yards ahead of me.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some freaks out there now. I mean, guys that are just uber talented. But I've always been really comfortable with just, you know, I will say I play with Rory. This had to be 7 or 8 years ago. We were playing together at Memorial. And obviously what he does off the tee, I mean, he's maybe the most gifted driver of the golf ball that's ever lived. I mean, I've said that, you know, from the first time I played with him. But he hit this feathery little wedge shot when we were playing together. And I was like, damn, I can't let him be better at me than that, you know, like
a wedge shot. Yeah.
I have the skills to do that. And so that kind of helped me be like, all right, well, he's not just beating me right now because he's hitting it further. He's able to hit these little touch shots that I'm not as good at. So I doubled down on that, and my short game's always been good. So I'm comfortable with how far I hit it. I trained to hit it a little bit further, but I'm not going to try and hurt myself doing it.
He's Brian Harman. He is the Open Championship winner. The waggle, your golf swing waggle, got a lot of publicity there over the weekend.
Yeah. When I first got on tour, I was one of the fastest guys on tour. When I was a junior golfer, you know, I was running around everywhere. And I just found myself waiting and waiting and just watching other guys play golf. And just I got sick of always kind of carrying the burden of being a really fast player. And that's what it feels like when you're a fast player. So I made the conscious choice to slow down. Now I've slowed down too much. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I want to be able to pull the trigger a little bit quicker. So I've been working on that, but at the same time, it's like, I've been playing pretty good. It's like, you know, I don't hit the shot till I'm ready. You know, how many shots did I hit when I wasn't ready when I used to play really fast? So the answer is, and I mean, I know it's not fun to watch. I've watched it on film, and I don't like it. But I'm conscious of it for sure. But I'm not going to hit a shot until I'm ready. Jack Nicklaus threw the ball forever. So
I still have your golf ball that you sent to me when you had two holes in one in a round, and then you had a hole in one on the 14th, and you sent it in there. So we still have it in the man cave.
Your man cave is looking like it's getting a little cluttered.
Oh, it's very. Is there anything, Brian, is there anything from the Open Championship you would like to donate to the man cave?
Let's see. What do you want, man? No clubs. You're not getting that putter. I know that.
Oh, okay. how about a signed glove maybe for the man cave? How's that?
perfect.
But I want to make sure. Now, you probably had 15 of them that you used on Sunday.
I don't know if you saw. I don't know. Is that ornaments underneath it? I was more prepared than anything. My caddy gets so mad at me. He's like, what are you guys damn gloves for? I'm like, today is why I have all these gloves.
Yeah, that Mike Tirico said it looked like a pro shop underneath your umbrella with all of the gear that you had. Who did you hear from that might surprise us after you won?
You know, I've heard from after getting heckled so much on Saturday and Sunday, it was just not surprising, but it was just really nice to hear from just everyone back home. And the thought never entered my mind, but I saw a video from my home golf course in Savannah where they were, you know, watching, and I was like, man, I didn't even think that they would be doing that. It just didn't occur to me. So no one in particular. It's just nice to hear from everybody and see that I had plenty of support back home.
Did you cry?
I have Kisner called me. I got a little choked up when he called me, just cause I know what it meant for him to call me. And then, when I saw my family in the airport yesterday, got a little choked up. It's been overwhelming for sure, but I'm ready for it. Just left foot, right foot, man. On to the next one.
I thought we might lose you in one of those bunkers.
It's there. He can lose a lot of people. You can hide an army in some of those bunkers.
It's scary. Is it fair?
I don't know. I don't know if golf needs to be fair. The bunkers aren't in a place where you're aiming. Like they capture errant shots. So if you hit good shots, you shouldn't be in the bunkers. We just get conditioned over, because our bunkers are so good over here. You get conditioned like on a par five and two, like, I'll just blow it in that bunker and I'll be able to get it up, you know, up around the hole somewhere. Over there, you can't do that. You have to be really smart. And a lot of times you'll be playing a practice round there. You're like, why the hell did they put this bunker right here? Like the bunker will be, it's like it's only 180 yards off the tee. And then the next day the wind flips and you're like, I see why this bunker's here. Really well placed.
Great to talk to you again. Congratulations. It was fun to watch, and hope you have a great weekend with the family.
I appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes,
and me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy, or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know what I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Bridgestone tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. See their Bridgestone test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to keep an eye out for the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Look who showed up. I didn't think he could scramble anymore. Steve Young, the Hall of Famer. Fritzy tracked him down. Fritzy was going to be Mean Joe Green or Lawrence Taylor. He was going to find Steve Young. And Steve Young, the Hall of Famer, set to join us on the program. Steve, good morning. How are you?
I don't know what to tell you, brother, other than just pure stupidity. I owe you, but apologize, but I never want to let you down. That's for sure. Number one, never let down Dan Patrick. So trying to make up for it here. I'll give you the best I got for the next 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, we called Jim Druckenmiller because we couldn't find you. I said, get me a Niner quarterback.
Give me a Niner.
Jeff Garcia was busy. Montana, you know, was busy. We were trying to find a Niner quarterback, so yeah, we're okay.
Druckenmiller wasn't available? What happened?
I don't know. Are you going to take your girls to see the Barbie movie?
One of my youngest went last night, and I guess we're all going to try to go see Oppenheimer tonight and then maybe towards the end of the week. So, yeah, I think it's happening in our family. I get everybody in the summertime. When's the last time you all went to the movies? It's been a while, so it's kind of nice to even think about.
But when the first time did we play golf? You didn't have any kids, right? That's how long. That's we were.
You and I go back.
But I remember, and then you had kids, and then you started asking me about. Oh my God, you didn't tell me, and I go, you didn't ask about kids, and especially girls. Can I help you with anything now? I have three girls who are 25 and older.
Yes, so teenage girls, they are a festival. It's a festival. It's but I love it. I honestly, my girls are my saving grace. My boys who are older, we're boys, and they're trying to figure it out. The girls are on it, and I love it. And both of them are tremendous athletes, and so much fun to be around. And my oldest girl is just going to be a senior this year. Decided to try high jump and then went to the state championship in California. And now is getting recruited after 3 weeks of high jump. So, she's having fun. And my other one's a dancer. And I don't really need any, honestly, Dan, I don't need any help right now. I feel like I got it.
Good.
You know, thanks to them, they're making up for all of dad's shortcomings.
Okay, but don't let them fool you, though. When you let your foot off the accelerator a little bit, they might take advantage of you. But I'm glad
I might come back to you. I might come back to you.
And then you're going to coach flag football?
Yeah, well, I John Pay, who played before Jim Druckenmiller, was the quarterback of the 49ers, and he's been the coach over at Menlo School for many, many years of girls basketball, which my daughter plays. The school is starting, the whole league is starting a women's flag football in the fall. Like, it's a very organized, very big commitment. And so he called me and said, hey, do you want to come over and help out a little bit? And I go, I can come over every once in a while and help out. And that's how that happened. So John Pay's the coach. And I'm going to bring Kyle Shanahan's offense to the whole thing.
If you were playing now and the ability to be able to run, would you run more in today's NFL or pass more?
You have to, Dan. The game changed when they changed the rules around how defensive players can launch their bodies. And once they eliminated that, it opened up all kind of space. I was talking to Doug Peterson the other day, coach of the Jaguars. And he's like, there's just so much more space in the NFL game than there was before. And if you don't innovate and figure out ways to go take advantage of that space that's been created, especially a quarterback, you will lose. And so a game today is my game. And so I wish that, I mean, I was talking to Michael Vick the other day. He's like, how much we wish we could go play today because there's so much space. And you can go fill it up. And I saw Aaron Rodgers the other day and said, Aaron, if you're going to go to the Super Bowl, and I think he agreed that you're going to have to get on your horse. You're going to have to go get those free yards. You're going to have to be in those big games. You're going to have to go run for 40 or 50 yards because they're sitting there. You got to go get them. And every big game comes down. Even Joe Burrow now realizes when he plays Patrick Mahomes, I got to get on the horse too. I'm going to have to go get those free yards that are out there. So the game has changed. It's so much more fun for quarterbacks, especially guys that can run. You're not going to see quarterbacks like Dan Marino or Peyton Manning ever again because they can't go get those yards. They're free and you have to have them. So that's why Bryce Young is the number one pick in the NFL this year, because forevermore into the future, unless they change the rules again, you have to be able to go run and get those yards, or you can't win Super Bowls.
Wait, we won't see the likes of Peyton Manning or Dan Marino at the position.
No, you can't, because there's too many yards to go get with your legs that are free that make the difference in the biggest games in the playoffs. That wasn't the case back in the day. That wasn't the case before the rule changes. So I'm not saying it's impossible. It's just going to make the job so much harder for someone who can't go get those yards. They're free. They're open. The game is chill. Look what the 49ers doing on offense. The Dolphins, the Chiefs, what Andy Reid comes up with. Patrick Mahomes can go 12 of 14 in the first, into the second quarter and never throw the ball past the line of scrimmage. It's a college game because of the space that's been created. And it's just not going to be a place for guys that can't go get those free yards at quarterback.
What would Michael Vick rush for now?
We talked about that the other day, and honestly, coming off an RPO and just watching the safeties have to commit and the linebackers have to commit and throw the football and with so many threats coming from all over the place, and they can't patrol like they used to. Even talking to Tom Brady a couple years ago, he says, Steve, the game's changed so much because they can't hit me. They can't patrol the middle of the field like they used to. Guys, the flats are always open. It's a fun, can I say it one more time? Fun time to play quarterback in the NFL. And I wish, I feel like the game came to me. This is my game. Damn, this is my game. And we all can do is watch it. So,
well, I get nervous about Josh Allen. I've said the last 2 years, can you take on contact even though as big as he is? It's like Cam Newton. He was as big as anybody. You can only take on so many of those hits at that position.
Yeah, but Dan, you've got to be, people always say, you're going to get hurt. You have to be smart. They ask too much of Josh. And Josh is such an earnest human being. He'll give you everything he has. In so many ways, if you ask too much, he'll give you too much. And the Bills need to take a little bit away from him. They've got to give him some help at running back. They've got to take away so he doesn't have to be Superman every week.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is Superman every week because they don't ask him to be Superman every week. There's a lot of other things that they can do. The Bills ask Josh Allen to be Superman every week, and then he tries to give it to him, and it's too much. And you can feel it. You can sense it. And I would like more innovation. You think about the innovative offense. There's a lot of coaches that don't understand what I just explained. They're still running plays from 2016. They don't work. They're not as effective. You have to come up with new plays that are going to take advantage of these new rules. And you see that with Andy Reid. You see that with Kyle Shanahan.
Well, what are those plays?
In Minnesota. You see it in Philadelphia. Those are the places that are happening. And other places, they're just not going to win Super Bowls because they're not doing it.
What are those plays that you're talking about?
Well, it's how you deploy assets and how you can spread. You spread the game in the NFL. You spread out sideline to sideline. You got smashed. Now you spread it out and you try to find holes and then attack. Get the ball out in space. And then, and then a lot of it is you watch the 49ers, the offense. It's unique ways to get you know, the ball to players in unique spaces. Look at Deebo Samuel playing running back. You think, oh, what's the big deal? They used to do that back in 2000. Like, no, it's you've got to watch the offenses and how they – the defenses can't patrol like they used to. They don't have this – they can't launch like they used to. And so there's just space out there that you've got to get the ball moving, slip screens, quick screens. You know, think about all the ways they get the ball out into space, into people's hands. Like they did, you know, like the college game of old is now the NFL game of today.
He's Steve Young, the Hall of Famer, joining us on the program. We were talking earlier in the show about trying to look at defensive backs now and who is a Hall of Famer. What makes you Hall of Fame worthy at that position? Because we're going to have to redefine what makes a Hall of Fame running back. If we even let them in the Hall of Fame, which is kind of strange to say. But as far as defensive backs, is there a sort of a bar there where you go, you got to have X number of all pros or interceptions or winning?
Like, I mean, I think at the end, it's been hard. I mean, it's always been for defensive football players in the Hall of Fame. It's always been hard. Linebacker. It's subjective. He was a great line. Oh, he was an amazing linebacker. Well, how are you going to prove that? Well, he was defensive player of the year four times. Well, that's one way to do it.
Yeah.
All pros, another way to do it. You need those things. I mean, he led the league in interceptions. Those are the kind of things that make a difference. But in the end, it is hard for defensive players to get into the Hall of Fame because it becomes a subjective game. There's not as much easy ways to, you know, quarterback, there's so many ways to judge objectively. But running back, you make a great point about running backs. That there's the I-back is dead because you can't play that offense anymore. That offense doesn't get it done. And so anybody says, oh, you know, I'm going to be a great I-back. Well, go somewhere else and go to Canada. Well, that's out too. You're not going to play that position's gone. And that's why Raheem Mostert is the poster boy for what needs to be for the running back position today. And everyone's looking for them. They're all over the place. And that's why the values are down. And then the league obviously messed up the CBA when they went. Running backs' value comes much earlier in their career than any other position. They didn't want people to get the money, get rookies get paid, or the first 5 years they don't get paid. Well, that's what running backs should get paid. So they've screwed that up too.
But I was wondering, not that the owners are going to acquiesce and go, yeah, we feel bad for these running backs, but is there a solution where running backs, could they do a 3-year contract at that position? So you're at least fair to them of what you're asking of them, but then there's the counterpoint of they're not as valuable to what you're doing as much as they used to be. So what do you do?
It's a double rub, and it really is a problem because there's a lot of guys that can do it now. They can line up wide receivers and run and play running back in Deebo Samuel. I mean, that's just where the league is. Again, the league has changed. The rules changed it. We got to bring in the new reality. And for running backs, it's not easy because Derrick Henry at lieback is those days are done. Super Bowl days. You can go maul people. The Ravens have done it for years. You go maul people with a really sophisticated running game, but it doesn't win Super Bowls. It's not going to get there anymore.
Niners okay at quarterback?
I think the thing that you should not do with Brock Purdy, even though he's not the tallest guy, the fastest, the strongest, all that kind of thing, you should never limit him. I mean, I always say the Star Wars analogy, the Force, you know, like Obi-Wan Kenobi or Luke Skywalker, like quarterbacking, like we talk about Jim Druckenmiller, you either have the Force or you don't have the Force. He has it. So I don't want to limit him, but he's got to get healthy. And I have no idea about that arm. I mean, it feels like it's getting better, but that injury is super weird. And I put the torque on the arm with a big, heavy football. You know, I'm sure he'll come back and play well, but how fast? And don't sleep on Sam Darnold. And don't sleep on Trey. Let Trey cook too. So they've got guys, they got a lot of potential, no question. But of all the places you said, Dan, Steve, you can go back and play. Pick anywhere in the league. I would sprint down to Santa Clara. Not even a question, not even close. Maybe I'd go to Andy Reid in Kansas City. That'd be like those two places I'd sprint to immediately because of the innovation that they're showing on offense that make the job for quarterbacks so much easier and so much harder for the defense. Those guys are the innovative geniuses that are dominating the league because they understand what we've been talking about.
Did you ever secretly hope that Montana would tweak his ankle or something or – like
shut up, Dan.
Maybe fall in the shower.
I had a great tip. Because I complain about backing up a lot. Bill Walsh problem, you know, he said Joe was hurt and then you can come in and start. And Joe came running out the first day. And I remember immediately saying, "This doesn't look real hurt," you know? And so I had to sit there a long time. And I was frustrated and upset. And I'd go from mad to furious to, and I ran into somebody I really care about and gave me the greatest tip ever. He goes, "Steve, if you don't like the job you have today, then be the best you've in the world has ever seen at that job. If you don't want that job, be the best at it." And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to be the greatest backup quarterback in the history of the game. That's how my mind went. It was the greatest tip ever, because then it left behind all of that weirdness of victimization and I'm not getting my shot, or just be great at what you're doing. And I think it had a lot to do with when I did get on the field, how it went.
But it was strange that it was Joe Montana telling you to be the best backup quarterback that you can be.
It wasn't Joe that said it. one thing about Joe, he was, I mean, I honestly, I could go on and on about the things that I watched him do and just go, "Oh, that is amazing." He was an amazing, amazing football player, but it was always awkward between the two of us. Like, if I saw Joe today, he's in San Francisco, I see him every once in a while, it's always awkward. Like, it's just.
Well, wait, you know, like what?
We never argued. We never fought. We never had words. But it's just, we were at, for 6 years, just whew, right in the same space. So it was awesome. It was awkwardly awesome, I'll call it.
Do you shake hands when you see him, or is it a hug when you see him?
Both.
Okay.
There's no animosity. There's none. It's just, it was awkward. It was hard. You know, it's like, and I would say to him, they got the best of both of us. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Through it all, they got the best of both of us. And that, I think that was Bill Walsh, the great genius Bill Walsh. I think that's what he was thinking about, which is, we both want to punch him if we, you know, rest in peace, great Bill Walsh. But, you know, we both were upset with him at times, but, He was a genius.
Before I let you go, we have somebody who works with us, Marvin, who's a big 49er fan. And he screwed up asking Deebo Samuel a question at the Super Bowl. And he would like...
I think I remember this.
It didn't go well, Steve. He basically go, I like the Niners. So Marvin's been practicing.
Okay. Is he got it written down?
I don't know. Yeah. Do you have this question written down for Steve Young?
I do.
Okay. All right. Would you like to ask Steve the question?
Yes, I would love to ask Steve Young a question.
Here's Marvin asking Steve Young.
All right. Besides the Cowboys, who was your biggest rival when you played?
The Cowboys. I just threw up in my mouth. Charles Haley, Hall of Fame defensive lineman, is on our team, and the next year he's on the Cowboys. That worked out great. I would say it'd have to be the Packers, right? Because Mike Holmgren, you know, there's a quick, real quick, Dan, there's a story. Mike Holmgren leaves the 49ers, gets a head coaching job with the Packers, and Bill Walsh had spent the last 3 years of his life packaging up everything that he knew. He knew that he was three generations ahead with the West Coast offense, and how he thought about the players as partners, you know, all of it, speeches, audio-based, paper-based, video-based, of everything that he knew, and he put it in a box and handed it to Mike Holmgren. And a toolkit said, "This is everything I know, this is yours. Now go and be great." And on the way out the door, he says, "I'll see you in the championship game." And your question?
Wow.
We saw him in the championship game, and we got beat. And I remember asking Brett Favre after the game, "Brett, what was the big speech Coach Holmgren gave in the hotel last night?" He told me the speech. He goes, he pulled it right out of the drawer of Bill Walsh's toolkit. It was Bill Walsh's big game speech. But that's the spirit of Bill. You look at the league today,
wow.
Everyone is a descendant of Bill Walsh through Mike Holmgren and Andy Reid and Doug Peterson. And it just goes throughout the league because of the spirit of abundance for Bill Walsh. So my second greatest nemesis was the great Green Bay Packers, I would say.
Great to talk to you again. My best to the family. Good luck with flag football. And I hold no grudges, no grudges.
Never.
That showed up late. No.
Never.
No issues.
We're in it. There's just forgiveness.
I'm Montana. It's you and me. It's awkwardly awesome. It's you.
It's awkwardly?
Yeah.
Much love to you, Dan. Thanks for forgiving me.
Always great. One of my favorite guests, Steve Young.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, everybody. Game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.